Today we are celebrating Thanksgiving. I know it's not Thanksgiving, but we do it because Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we don't want to celebrate Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving, but we can. We can do this 2 weeks in a row. I know, it's really hard for me to keep your focus today because just the smell of food. And how many of you can smell the food? How many of your minds wandering that way already? Yeah, I mean, so is mine, but we got to just focus for a little bit. You know, for us, it's easy to be grateful when things are good. Yeah, you know, like when you get your brand new car, brand new fishing pole, brand new surfboard, and things are going good. It's so easy to be grateful. But when trials start and tough times roll in, are we still grateful? Do we still carry an attitude of gratitude? Or does it like disappear until good times roll in again? Are we grateful when there is a nice, medium rare steak in front of you? Or are we ungrateful when there's a plate full of fluffy greens with no dressing in front of you? You know, can you kind of get where I'm coming from? Are you grateful for both of these? You know, as you get older, I speak for myself, we have to watch what we eat. And we have to, you know, do different things. And I cannot lift as much stuff as I used to, as much weight. I cannot cast my fishing line as far as I used to. I cannot eat the fat on the prime rib anymore. You know that corner piece that I'm talking about? Yeah, it is the best part. You know, when you get like homemade Kahlua pig and you got that nice dark fatty part inside there, and you're just longing to eat that. I cannot do that anymore. But I'm still grateful for the rest of the meat. A few days from now, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. But like I say every year, every day is Thanksgiving, and every day is Christmas. Amen? Not that we're going to eat like that every day, because we shouldn't. But every day we should be grateful. It's been said that grateful people are happy people. They are free people. And it's true. I believe that to be so true. And sometimes it's not easy to show our gratefulness or us being happy. I think a lot of it has to do with our relationship with God. And when our relationship with God is right and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, man, it'll just come and it'll just beam out of us, because we cannot help not to be grateful and thankful for what the Lord has done. You know, grateful people have this completely different viewpoint from pessimists and critics. You know, what do we get from whining and complaining, bitterness, self-pity, envy, greed? You know, I don't think we get anything. But when we're grateful, and it shows, I think we'll get that abundant life and it'll overflow with joy, peace. And it's kind of like, when you're in that place, it's really good to praise the Lord, because we will praise the Lord in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. In Romans 14:6, he who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does it for the Lord, For he who gives thanks to God, and he who eats not, for the Lord does not eat and gives thanks to God. So here, Paul, he's writing his letter to the Romans, and he's telling them not to condemn a person for what is different in opinion regarding certain things. Here, some people wanted to keep these festivals that they were having and their purpose, and they wanted to use that to honor God. And on the other hand, there were those who would find that they cannot observe them and honor God, and not believing that God had enjoyed them. So he does not honor them, but yet they are thankful to God. You know, sometimes we can eat certain food, and sometimes we cannot. But in those times, do we honor God in both ways? You know, sometimes we need to eat salad. I'm sorry, but that is the truth. Sometimes we need to eat salad. Sometimes we need to exercise. But do we honor God in both eating that medium rare steak and that leafy green salad? Are we thankful for both of them? Because we need to be. You know, we go fishing quite a bit. And you know when the fish would come off the hook back in the day? All the cussing and swearing would come out of our mouth. We would be, I would be so mad, swearing, wanting to even throw my fishing pole in the water. And you know, it's frustrating when you get a good fish on and it comes off. And it would show. And we would get, people would make fun of me. It's like, oh, look at your face. Man, it's distorted. It's just one fish. And now, we go fishing, and I get a strike, and sometimes you get so excited, you forget to set the hook. And the fish runs and runs and runs and spits the hook out. And then it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. At least I got a bite. Right? It's not, you know, it's not like before we'd get all mad. Because fishing, what is it? A jerk on one end, waiting for a jerk on the other end. That's all it is. And I'm the biggest one, waiting for the biggest jerk. But I have learned over the years, man, when that fish comes off the hook, say thank you, because the fish couldn't have bit at all. And you could be just wasting your time, casting your line, reeling it up, casting your line, reeling it up, just getting some exercise. So, number one, what is your measure of gratitude? If you could measure gratitude, where would you stand? Would it be high on the scale or low? Or would it be kind of in between? First Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It says, in everything, not for everything, in everything, in every season. All things work together for good for those who love God. In everything, whatever circumstance you may be in, whether it be financial, health, relational, give thanks. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do in word or deed, just give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because I believe he deserves it. Amen? Ask yourself some of these questions. I have so much in life to be thankful for. Would you agree or would you disagree? If I had to list everything that I felt grateful for, it would be a very long list. For me, it'll be a very, very, very long list. It'll be like Santa's list. Because I am thankful for so much. So would you agree or would you disagree? I am grateful to a wide variety of people. Oh man, I am so grateful for so much people. Even those guys who was mean to me at work. Really, you know those bosses who you want to call them names and I can't say that in church? You know what I mean? Yeah, those of you laughing, you thinking about your boss right now? You guys, and I would love to call him every name I could think of. Are you even? I had some pretty mean bosses in my lifetime, and I think the meaner ones, the really really mean ones, the one who just picked on you, I am more grateful for them than the nice ones, because the mean ones, oh, they taught me so much, and I learned more from the mean, rotten ones than from the nice, kind ones. Funny, yeah? As I get older, you know, I just realized this week that I am 53, not 52. I thought I was 52 all year long. Then when I was filling out a form at the doctor's office, and I was like, yeah, 63, it's 16, it's got to be 3. I'm 53. Shoot, I gained 1 year in a matter of a minute. Like, oh, man. But you know what? I am thankful to be 53 with white hair and 5'3". Yeah. So as I get older, I find myself more able to appreciate the people, events, and situation that have been a part of my life history. Agree or disagree? Man, because I look at all the stuff that I've been through, and those things, especially the trials, the hardships, those are the things that really shaped my life. And if you are facing some stuff now, man, it is going to be doing a wonderful work in you. It's going to be shaping you and molding you. I think God uses those tough times to shape. You know, like the potter and the clay is just a messy old lump and you keep punching it and smashing it and trying to make it soft and moldable. Imagine if you was a piece of clay and getting all those lickings. And then the potter shapes you into this beautiful vase. I mean, if that clay had feelings, it would probably be painful. Imagine, you know, like fishing lead. You melt that thing until it's like, until you scoop off the junk from the top and refine, and then it gets poured into a mold. Imagine if that lead could feel pain. Man, it'd be pretty painful to be melted like that. But I think God uses those things to help shape us. So, you know, as you get older, do you find yourself able to appreciate the people, the events and situations that have been a part of your life history? You know, agree or disagree? And if you find yourself that you agree with the things that the statements I read, if you find that you agree with those, then I think that you can count yourself as grateful people. Amen? And if you disagree with some of those things, then let me say this. After we finish church, you get to go eat first so you can be grateful. And for those of us who are grateful, I know that there's only dessert going to be left. We will still be grateful. Amen? So you guys got that, eh? If you guys disagreed with any of that, you guys get to go first. And you know what? I'm not going to even look if you're first in line. How's that? All right? So the number two, your motive of gratitude. Why are you grateful? Do you feel obligated to be grateful? Is it out of duty or respect? Or is it genuine gratefulness that comes from your heart? Are you grateful because something was done for you that you couldn't do for yourself? Like salvation? You know, last week we celebrated Veterans Day. And I think about the veterans who made some huge sacrifice so that we could live free. And surely freedom wasn't free because they paid a price so that we could be free. And I am so grateful for what they have done. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Eventually, this world will crumble, and only God's kingdom will last. And those of us who follow Christ, are a part of that unshakable kingdom. And we will withstand the shaking, the sifting, the burning. When we feel unsure about the future, we can have confidence from this verse. No matter what happens, our future is built on that solid foundation that cannot be destroyed. Are you grateful because you are receiving an unshakable kingdom? And what is your motive for being grateful? Is it because something was done for you that you couldn't do yourself? You know that we could not save ourselves. That's why Jesus had to come and be our Savior. Amen? Listen to what Job says in Job 13:15. Though he slay me, notice he is in the capital H, talking about God. I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. Now, Job, if you recall, in the beginning, he lost all his livestock. He lost all his children. And then he says things like this. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. And Job had this attitude that I am going to follow God even if I die. Man, isn't that amazing? Sometimes we get the first little bit of pain and we run. What an attitude that Job had. Sometimes I need to read his book just to make me feel grateful that I didn't have to lose my three hens, my two dogs, and my children, and suffer all these health problems, and then have it all come back so that I can be grateful. You read the book of Job, and it's like, man, even if I'm hungry, and I'm starving, and I have some issues with health and relationships and finances, I still need to be grateful. Amen? Number three, the mark of gratitude. Can people that surround you at your workplace, in your home, where you go shopping, can they see that you are grateful just by your attitude? Or they look at you and then there goes a miserable person? Or can they look at you like, why is he, why is she always happy? I don't understand. But when they get to the root and they see why, because you have Jesus Christ, then they understand that's why you're happy. In Luke 8:39, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. So he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done. After this man was healed, he was a new man. He had legions of demons inside of him, so much so that nothing could bind him. And when Jesus cast out the demon, he was so grateful. He wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus told him, no, you stay here. And you tell the people what great things Jesus has done for you. Are you grateful to what Jesus has done for you? Are you grateful for the salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, for the abundant life, the brand new creation? Are you so grateful that you can't help but tell the whole world how much Jesus loves them? Is that the mark of your gratitude? By you sharing Jesus with the whole world? This man probably didn't know much about Jesus, not like the disciples, but all he did is go and tell his village what Jesus done for him. They seen him in the tombs. They seen how wicked he was. They seen that nothing could bind him. And now he's a brand new creation. And all he had to tell them was his story. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar to tell your story. Is that the mark of your gratitude for being saved by telling others? Just like that story of the 10 lepers who were healed in Luke 17. 10 of them were healed. 10 were healed. 2 came back. 2 or 1? 1, sorry. I'm not good at math. 10% came back. And he was a Samaritan. And he came, the other 9 went away. They was healed. I mean, leprosy was an incurable disease. I mean, if you had leprosy back then, you were just cast out by yourself, alone, left to die. But they were healed of this incurable disease. One, just one, came back to tell Jesus, thank you. How often do you thank Jesus for your salvation? Once a day? Multiple times a day? Once a week? Only on Sundays when things go good? Think about that. And like Diane said during worship, James 1, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. I read this last week too. Maybe God is trying to tell us something. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And that endurance have its perfect or complete result. That you may be perfect or mature, complete, lacking in nothing. How many of you want to be lacking in nothing? Man, that's a great place to be. But in order to get there, amen, in order to get there, you got to go through the trials. And that's why our attitude in the trial can be grateful, because it's going to do something in us that we'd come to the point that we'll be lacking in nothing. When you can look at trials and be grateful, I think when you approach that part, when the trials come your way and you can be thankful, I think you hit a certain part of maturity in Christ. Because when I was very young in the Lord and trials would come my way, I didn't understand it and I would run in the opposite direction. I think my nickname might have been Jonah, because the trial would come and I'd run. It's like I didn't want any part of it, because I didn't know what it was going to do to me. It's good to practice gratitude in your life. Focus on what you have rather than what you don't have. Studies suggest that your strong tendencies to practice gratitude brings you more positive emotions, better health, stronger relationships, and greater life satisfaction. You know, this Thanksgiving, ask God to do a heart check on you to see if you are grateful for what He has done for you, what He has done in you, what He is doing through you. You know, are you grateful for everything that's going on? Whether it's you're dealing with, like me, I'm dealing with high cholesterol and high sugar. I'm dealing with laziness when it comes to exercise. I'm dealing with eating right. You know what I mean? Salad. Yeah. How many brought salad today? Vegetable salad. Nobody. Wow. My kind of church. Shame on me. Yeah. How many of you brought dessert today? Yeah. I tell you, it's so bad. Yeah. But I got to say, I am the biggest one. I'm the worst one of all. And I admit that. And I need to be held accountable in some way, shape, or form. When I pile on that extra dessert, just take it away from me. I will not be mad at you. But ask God this Thanksgiving. Check my heart. Ask God, help me to be grateful. Help me to be grateful for all the things that's going on around me in every situation. Not for them, but in them. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up now. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me. Bow your heads, close your eyes. If somebody out here, maybe you never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So really, your life hasn't changed. You haven't had a Savior. Maybe you need to receive Jesus so you can understand that you are saved. And maybe you need to be grateful for that. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I ask that you would pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? Let me put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. And they said yes to you. So, Lord, I pray for those who just said yes, that you would give them a great reason to put on an attitude of gratitude. For now you have prepared for them a place in heaven so that they would be grateful. And for the rest of us who are already saved, Lord, I pray and I ask that you would change our hearts, make us into such a grateful people that it will overflow and that people would see. And then they would ask, and that we would give an answer pointing to you, that all glory and honor and praise will belong to you because we are now saved by faith and by your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. Hey, before we stand up and sing, we got one more announcement. December 3rd, we're going to go golfing. Anybody likes to golf? Okay, and you don't have to be a man. You can be a lady, but we're going to go. What time are we going to go, Keola? Depends on how much people. So, Keola, stand up. If good thing, because if it was me, you said, I'm already standing. But see Keola, because he needs a head count, and that's December 3rd. We're going to go tear up that volcano golf course. Not tear up, but we're going to, like, shoot in the low 70s. Yeah, that's for me. With 100 handicap, I'll shoot in the low 70s. But we're going to plan on doing that. And if you want to join us, it'll be a great time of fellowship. If you have somebody who doesn't go to church, man, Imagine that, 5 hours stuck with a bunch of Christian men. Oh, that'd be a great time to minister to them and to go chase their golf ball in the bushes, serve them well. Amen?